Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast, or just the Goldstein podcast as it's now being called by the millions of people that download it for free. A busy podcast coming up begins, obviously, with England fans on the back of, victory, but a shoddy performance in the second half, and awful defence. And anyway, you get the drift. This is you lot saying something similar on the sports bar, or as I like to call it, the ad. Yeah, you get the idea.
I just want to pick up on what you said before, Andy, really. I want to acknowledge that Southgate has got England playing more exciting football and they're better to watch than previous managers.
Yeah, agreed.
But aside from that, I don't really understand what's changed. We go into these groups for World Cup qualification and European qualification and we play, you know, four or five what would be classed as non-league teams in this country, and we win comfortably. Every 10 or 12 years, we have a wobble and we don't qualify for something. But the fact of the matter is, we get to these tournaments and we do nothing. And I can't see it changing anytime soon.
When you say we do nothing,
we beat teams that we should beat. When we play teams that, you know, sort of the similar level.
When you say we do nothing at tournaments, that's...
Well, yeah, but, Jason, the World Cup, every team we played... We had the easiest run, and then the teams that were at our level are slightly above. We lost.
Yeah, but that's how cup competitions work. Generally, you come up against a side that's better than you, and you go out. And I think it's fair to say that Croatia are better than us.
No, but what Steve's saying is that you and lots of people like you are saying, well, we got to the semi-finals. But what Steve's saying is, but we only got that far because we came up against dross.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, but hold on. Spain didn't get there. Spain went out.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about Spain.
No, I'm saying teams like Spain and Germany didn't get as far as we did. The Netherlands weren't even there. Italy weren't even there. So when you say what's changed, we actually were, I think, worthy of a spot in the semi-finals last World Cup.
Oh, Jason, you're blind. You've got blind faith in this country. We're bigging up average players, right? Now, I look at Mason Mount and I think Mason Mount looks a decent player, okay? Two decent games for Chelsea this season. He scored against Norwich, and all of a sudden, we're pulling him out as some kind of world beater. And we're doing it every year with different players. Like, at the beginning of the season, Tammy Abraham, right? He couldn't buy a goal, and apparently cost Chelsea the Super Cup. He scores twice against Norwich, and then everyone's like, let's call him up for England. We're over-promoting potential, and you can't do it. And Southgate is tactically inept.
What about when we beat Spain? Was he tactically inept?
We beat Spain in the first 10 minutes by hitting them on the counter.
Yeah, hold on, did he get that right tactically?
For the first 10 minutes, absolutely he got that right. And then they worked us out and they battered us and we held on.
What do you mean they battered us? I mean, in the end, it was the last 10 minutes or so. They had to. They were throwing everything at us, but we were worthy. What about when we beat Croatia?
Croatia was a great game, but let's be honest, they didn't beat Croatia when it really mattered, which was the World Cup.
Yeah, so Southgate's learnt then from that. Would you agree?
No, he hasn't learnt. He hasn't learnt a thing.
He hasn't learnt a thing. So we lost to Croatia, and then we play them next, and we beat them, and he hasn't learnt.
Yeah, and then we went to Holland, and he picked completely the wrong team twice, and we lost both games.
The big news on Tuesday was Michael Owen. was in the building. Yeah, we got Michael Owen. He was in the building talking about his new book, which is called I Hate Alan Shearer. Oh, no, hold on. Oh, no, that's not the title of it, but you would have thought so, having read a few bits of it. Anyway, Michael Owen's on The Breakfast Show. This is him talking to Big Al.
It's not paper talk, unfortunately. Really? I haven't spoke to him for a long time now, which Shame. Is sad. It is, Shame. Absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, same agent as Alan, same boot sponsors. We were always together on the circuit. When I mean, playing for England, playing up front alongside him was a proper honour. I mean, what a player. Mm. And then going to Newcastle, one of the reasons I thought, no, what a, how good will this be playing for a season or two with Alan Shearer up there? I mean, that it was, so that was one of the reasons I thought, no, go on, I'm going to go to Newcastle. And stayed in his house while I was house hunting, my family, you know, big mates, and remained that. Played golf with him all the time. We loved our horses. We loved our golf. We, you know, everything was fine. But sadly, as soon as he took over as manager, you know, it took a twist, and it took a twist in the final game. I mean, I was out for...
Was this Villa?
Yeah, I was out with a groin injury for most of his short period. I think he was only manager for eight games.
Nine games, I think.
And
is,
I
it
had
fair,
a,
is it fair to say Alan believed that you were fit and you faked it? Is that what we're talking about here?
Basically the crux of the matter, yeah. And I had a groin injury for, you know, a period of time, so I didn't even play many games under Alan. But then the last game was looming, and in my eyes, and bear in mind, we've already spoken about injuries.
Injuries,
yeah. I knew my body better than anybody. I don't care whether you're the best doctor or best physio in the world. I knew my body. And I knew when I was a week early or 2 days away or I'm right now or whatever. I knew it just from feel. I'd had it. I'd been there. I'd done it for years and years.
Do you want to make up one then? Because he's basically accused you of not cheating, but, you know, he doesn't want to play.
Well, I've got no problem with Alan. Absolutely. Like the guy, as I say, got great history with him, but sadly he's got this view of myself that I didn't want to play in this last game. And I know why he come to the conclusion. He thinks that because I was at the end of my contract that, you know, it might have influenced or affected the next move. But, I mean, come on, I've had, as I say, 25, 30 muscle. Another one isn't going to, you know, stop me from doing whatever. So I was more than... And, in fact, I went into the... into the his office the day before the game, and I said, if I were you, I would put me on the bench. I'm not right. I mean, I've just been trying to sprint with the physio, and if I go another step quicker, I got to about 70%. If I go another step, it's going to ping again. Mm. I'm still a week away, really. But put me on the bench. If we need a goal, 10 minutes to go, whatever, bring me on. I'll loiter around the box, and I'll try to knock one in. But it's a risk starting me.
And did you go on the bench?
I was on the bench, and that transpired. That exactly, oh, right. those chain events happened. But he took that as some way that I didn't want to play.
And here's another Owen run. He's going to worry them again. It's a great run by Michael Owen, and he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal! What an amazing moment in Michael Owen's young career. A fantastic run that frightened the Argentinians. And a most unerring finish beyond Ra to make it 2-1 England. A terrific moment.
I burst on the scene at 17 and won the Golden Boot, went with England and played in the World Cup. So all of a sudden, I'm an 18-year-old and I've achieved quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a baby like that, you really just want to focus on football. Now, I had a great team around me. I mean, my agent at the time looked after David Beckham, Alan Shearer, some great players. So of course I leave everything off the field just to the experts. It's right, concentrate on your football. And I would say, looking back on my career, that I was probably painted a little bit whiter than white early on in my career. And since then, people have almost formed an opinion. And as you say, you were, you know, maybe quiet or shy or whatever it was early on in my career. But I think off the pitch, if you'd asked all the lads in the Liverpool dressing room, they'd say, you know, you're living a lie, mate. What, yeah. You know, how can you be perceived so clean cut, let's say, outside? And don't get me wrong, I wasn't a rebel, but I did have a personality. I was a person that liked, you know, going out with the lads and having a laugh and things like that. But I think I was perceived as being whiter than white. So maybe this book and some of the revelations or some of the hard facts or opinions maybe come as a shock to a lot of people.
Also on The Breakfast Show was Sir Geoffrey Boycott. or SGB, as no one calls him. This is him talking to Big Al.
This was a lovely surprise, Geoffrey, wasn't it?
It was a lovely surprise. The Prime Minister called me, herself, I mean, Theresa, and asked me, and I thought, well, I know it has to go to to Boris, the current Prime Minister, it has to go to the Queen, and I thought it'd be a week or two, and maybe it'll get turned down, knowing my colourful life. And so I didn't even tell my wife. And then it all started yesterday. My daughter got calls from the media wanting interviews this morning or quotes. Yeah. And she said, Daddy, we need to talk when I get home.
Whoa.
I said, right, okay.
So, Geoffrey, where does this where does this rank in your list of great achievements?
Oh, it's lovely because it's the recognition of your cricket, isn't it, over the years and commentating. I mean, I'm lucky. I love the game. I passionately have done. I'm also, maybe I was good at it. A lot of others were. But I really do love it. I mean, even commentating, it's not as good as batting, but I get up in the morning and I want to go to, I can't call it work. My dad did work down a coal mine, wondering if the roof were going to fall on his head every day, every minute nearly. Mine is just, you'd almost go to cricket to commentate and not get paid, wouldn't you? Just lovely. What a life. And I've had it.
He's a buffet bowler. He is. He's a help yourself. He's got down there, inside out, bottom hand, clonked.
Well, he picked the line, or he thinks he did.
I think he picked the length. I'm not sure about the line. He looked like a lap slog. And if you hit it, it's a good shot. Your hand through your hair.
At least I've got some to do it with.
Ooh. That was below the belt, eh? Ooh.
My daughter said to me when she was young, she must have been about 9, she said, Daddy, you're lucky you've had 2 careers.
Mm.
I said, really? Yeah. Hmm. You've batted for 25 years, you commentate for years, you love it, you're good at it. She said, a lot of people have to go to work, earn a living, they don't necessarily like the job they go to.
Mm.
And she's right. Well, people like me who really enjoy it passionately, you know, I used to, every morning when I played for Yorkshire and England, I used to get up and open the curtains. It's the sun shining because I want to bat today.
Yeah.
I was more interested in that than making a cup of tea.
Next up on Jim White's show was Simon Jordan disagreeing.
Oh, there's a surprise.
Yeah. With sporting honours and knighthoods. Of course, he'll keep disagreeing until he gets one.
I think it's cronyism, I think it's patronage. I think ultimately the whole honour system is flawed anyway because we recognise and reward people for micro-achievements. You know, I think the handing out of the gongs because we won the 2005 Ashes to every single player who turned up at number 10 drunk out of their heads was beyond my comprehension. And I think too many people get recognised for things that they haven't done. If you look at the list of people that have turned down gongs like Lowry or Roald Dahl, Or David Bowie, you know, looking at these things and saying, well, I did what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't do it for recognition. And I think certainly the honour system is flawed.
I'm Alan Brazil, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
David Hay was next on H&J. There's a little poem there, but there isn't one anymore. No. David Hay was on H&J talking about how he hurt his little toe. Oh, no, sorry, that's from years ago. This is him talking about Derek Chisora.
He did take up with me, and I agreed with Eddie Hearn that it was a co-main event, so there would be equal parity. And when Derek then asked the question, who's the main event, and the answer contractually is equal, Eddie then said the guy next to him, meaning the super lightweight world champion. And that, obviously, as far as Derek was concerned, he was the main event or co-main event. And then when he's up on stage, he's told he's not. He's not the type of guy you kind of do the old switcheroo with. You've got to be quite straight with Derek. And he felt he was being taken advantage of in some way. And he kicked off like in true Derek Chisora style.
Has he got a point, David, though? I mean, he is a big draw. And even that yesterday was a bit WWE, but it all sells tickets, doesn't it?
It does. And if you actually look at the press, you know, he was trending on social media. You know, everybody was talking. He said, you know, what was the quote about, you know, if you're going to him, you know, at least give me some Vaseline. That was the thing he said, and that everybody jumped on that headline. And it's you know, bad, good or bad publicity, you know, it equals to pay-per-view buyers and interest. So people who may not have been aware of this show are now aware of this show. Derek is sold out the O2 Arena on multiple occasions. He's the London fighter on the bill with the biggest fan base. You know, you've got the world champions, one's from America, one's from Glasgow. So I understand where Derek's coming from. Also, Derek's very fit at the moment. He's not used to this far out from a fight. It's 6 weeks this Saturday. Normally, he only kind of peaks. He only really starts, you know, getting the engine going 2 or 3 weeks prior to the fight. But we've kept him in the gym since his spectacular win over Artur Spilka, the Polish guy who went 12 rounds or went 9 rounds with Deontay Wilder. He went out there and blitzed him at the O2 Arena in 2 rounds, really dishing out a real statement of intent there for all the heavyweights, which has caused him to be the co-main event for this show. So I understand where his head's at. I understand that he's frustrated. I understand that he feels a little shortchanged. But it's a fight that everybody is excited about.
Now, earlier on, I mentioned to Jeffrey Boycott, or SGB, was, of course, on the Alan Brazil Breakfast Show. We can stay with the cricket theme now as our very own David Spencer caught up with Jimmy Anderson.
I was hearing Michael Owen talking about his injuries today because, obviously, yeah, as a footballer, he suffered a lot. And he talked about that, the pressure to get back. Was there a little bit of that because it was the Ashes?
Well, of course, yeah, but I also felt like the rehab went really well. I went into that first test 100% confident that I was fit again, and I was. You know, I'd done everything I possibly could to prove myself for that test match, other than play a game of cricket. But I felt really good. I didn't have any issues with the calf, and then unfortunately it flared up again in that game. And you know, sometimes these things that they can happen. It's just frustrating it happened in a big series like the Ashes.
And just in terms of the test side, again, a lot of comments about have we taken the eye off the ball with the test team compared to the one-day team. How do you feel about that?
There could be an element of that, but you know, I don't think it really affects the guys that go out in the middle. I think we're picking the best test players that we've got in the country, and it's just about delivering under pressure out in the middle. And we've, you know, there'd be some guys in this team that are disappointed that they've not quite performed the way they would have liked, but going forward, that I think it's some, I don't know whether we've taken the eye off the ball. It's just you know, we've focused more on white ball cricket because we wanted to win the World Cup, and we did that. So I think that, you know, that's been a good thing for English cricket. Now we can kind of hopefully try to find, it's about finding a balance. So, you know, we've got a new coach coming in. If we can find that balance between having a great white ball side, which we have, and obviously we want to try and balance that and match that with a great test side.
And this is the problem now. What we've got is a great performer, and he's still a very talented cricketer, even at 37. He doesn't need to bowl quick because he's got skill factors that are unbelievable. But at some point, when we're talking about getting our test team back to number one in the world, prolonging the career of two of them together, it's going to be very difficult to get the youngsters in and get them game time and get them experience.
So about him and Broad?
Yes, we could still use them. But does it mean he has to go from playing every single game to probably saying, we're not going to take him to New Zealand. We're going to take the youngsters to New Zealand and get some experience. We'll take him to South Africa. We think he might play a part over there. It's a massive series, four test series. And then we don't need him in Sri Lanka. Yeah, live and talk sport. Then we don't need him in Sri Lanka because he went there last year and he struggled to perform over there and he got left out of the last test because he was ineffective. So I think, yes, he's still got a bit to offer, but I think the days of playing every single game, we have to build for the future.
And we end the podcast off as we always do. In fact, got a little email here. It says, dear Andy, loving the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast. Love the sports bar. Just wondering, is it possible the sports bar could start at 6 a.m. in the morning and go all the way through all the day? So you go through Jim White's show, and then you go through H&J, and then you go through a bit of Drive, and then kick all the way through to your own sports bar? No.
You know when you eat a bag of
Watsits? When you eat a bag of
Watsits? Yeah, the crisps.
Yeah.
And you get orange like bits on your fingers.
Yeah.
He says, would you rather have that on your fingers?
What, forever? What, forever?
Yeah, can't get it off.
Right.
Or every muffin that you see in a shop or I don't know, wherever you go, Costa.
Yeah.
You think it's a baby and you start showing it affection. Mental, that, isn't it?
That's unbelievable.
His name's Jimbo. And he asks everyone that question.
That's pure genius.
Can I ask some questions? What was your name?
Johnny.
Johnny, can I ask some questions? The Watsit hands.
Right. Both Watsit hands.
Yeah, both Watsit. Okay, when you've got two Watsit hands, when you actually have real Watsit hands, when you touch something, the orangey stuff comes off. Would that be the case with your Watsit hands? Forever, stuff would always flake off. Okay.
I think I'd have to start.
Let me ask you another one. With the, what is it that you see as babies? What was it?
Muffins.
With the muffins. I mean, when I see other people's babies, I'm not that affectionate to them because I don't know them. would I just look at the muffin and go, oh, there's a little baby?
No, you'd show it pure affection. I generally don't like other people's children either.
Right.
But sometimes you see a nice one, we kill it or whatever, and you think that's a cute baby. I'll just comment
about a muffin, yeah?
when was the last time you showed a muffin a lot of affection?
No, I didn't. I don't. But you'd be confused. No. You think it's a lovely baby. Right.
I think I'll go muffin. I couldn't handle Watsit hands.
Yeah, I'd have to go muffin.
What about you, Johnny?
Magic.
What would you do?
I don't know.
That's it from another TalkSport Daily Andy Goldstein's podcasty thing. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to download it. Remember, the sports bar does exist Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. And obviously, the midnight train is slap bang in the middle of it, apart from it's sort of at one end, but you understand what I'm saying. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you for down-listening. Remember to press subscribe so the next one is in your inbox waiting for you when you open up your pretty little eyes in the morning. Until next time, thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.